Raina, am I coming through all right, am I?
Hello. Hello. Oh, there I Happy New Year. If you are here in person or for those gathered at home, let me pray. Father, I thank you for this, that sense of your spirit here this morning as we come to worship you, as we come to praise your name. Lord, and as we now come to open your word, Father, I pray that you give us open hearts and minds to hear what you might be saying to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are again then, folks. Happy as can be. That's good, Sean. We're at the start of another new year. And very much at the start, since it's New Year's Day. You know, this year is only 11 hours and 12 minutes old. I'm guessing you might have spent a fair chunk of that 11 hours or so already asleep. I wonder how much of that 11 hours you have spent with Jesus. I wonder if already in these 11 hours, some of us have done anything wrong this year. My expectation is it's probably more likely that we've done that than spend time with Jesus, if I'm honest, speaking for myself, of course. And of course, with 11 hours having already passed this year, what it means, as you all know, I am sure, is that there is a further 8,749 hours left this year. There. Aren't you pleased? Thank you. I know, is how many days till Christmas? 358 days till Christmas. And yet I've noticed lots of people have already got their decks up. Now, I'm not counting. I know there's lots of hours left in this year, and I am not counting. Of course I'm not. We don't want to be doing that. In fact, to slightly alter a well-known quote, let's not count the hours. Let's make the hours count. And that, for me, is at the heart of what I want to say this morning. Let's not count the hours, but let's make the hours count. We begin this year by looking at a prayer. What a great way to start the year, looking at a prayer. This prayer that the Apostle Paul prays to the Ephesian church, which we read about in chapter 3, as we've just heard. I briefly want to share a few thoughts on the first chunk of verses that Helena brought to us before picking up on what I think is a key point from later on in that passage. Before we then do what is the best thing we could do at the start of the year, we share communion together around the Lord's table. Let me just take you back to the beginning of that passage that Helena brought to us. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He is praying to the Ephesian church, and he could equally be praying to us here in Worcester. Or I could be praying for all of God's people to be filled with the power that comes from the Spirit. And God is willing to do that out of his glorious riches. And what is this power? This is dunamis power. That's the word used. Dunamis power. You know, we get our word dynamite from dunamis. The power of the Holy Spirit is explosive. And that is what Paul is praying for the Ephesians. And that is what we all need to be praying for each other. That we get more of this Holy Spirit power and then be explosive for God in our work for him. I think if we did nothing else this year, if we just prayed that, that would be a great start for us individually and great start for us as God's church here in the centre of Worcester. But Paul goes on, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You know, Paul tells us elsewhere in Scripture that this love he's talking about, which is incredibly high and long and deep and wide, is also a love that we can never be separated from. As has already been said and prayed, we don't know what this year will bring. But I do know one thing. Whatever it brings will never separate you from the love of Christ. Amen indeed. He then goes on to those final two verses. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Here's how much he's talking about this power, this dunamis power, this explosive power. It's coming up over and over again in this short passage. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And God's church together said, amen. Amen. Folks, I have a confession to make. I begin the year with a confession. My belly has expanded over the last few weeks. And I know that I'm not alone, because someone, and I'm not going to mention any names, has already told me that they've put on an extra 3 kilograms over Christmas. I expect there's a few of us whose bellies have expanded, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. And that is probably not a good thing. But what is good to expand is our expectations of God and our expectations of what God might choose to do in our lives. Our expectations of what God might choose to do in the life of this church in the center of Worcester or his church worldwide. It's far too easy, I've learned in my Christian life, to find ourselves not expecting a great deal from God simply because our expectations are too low. And yet here, what we learn from Paul, writing this wonderful letter to the Ephesians, is that God is able to do far more than we can possibly even imagine he is capable of doing. In fact, he's able to do immeasurably more, Paul says, than all we ask or think to ask or imagine. You know, there are some folks, I'll have to be honest, I'm not one of them, there are some folks who've got incredible imaginations. And I guess that's how it is they're able to invent such amazing things. Many of the things that are now just part of our everyday life. But you know, it doesn't matter how incredible your imagination is, you can't out-imagine God and what he can do. He will always be able to do, as Paul says, immeasurably more. You know, one of my commentaries I've got on Ephesians, Matthew Henry says this of this verse: whatever we may ask or think to ask, still God is able to do more, abundantly more, exceedingly abundantly more. Exceedingly abundantly more is how the New King James Version translates this particular verse. And I think that makes the point pretty well. Whatever words you use, they will never be big enough in meaning to describe what God is able to do. Because God isn't able to do just a little bit more, or even a whole lot more, but immeasurably more, exceedingly abundantly more than you can even manage. If you were here on Christmas Day, I spoke about the ponderings of Mary. And she treasured all that had happened in her heart. And I said that I sometimes in life ponder things. Certain things I just cannot get my head around. I spoke about this phrase that people often say. They say, you need to expect the unexpected. And I made the point That if we expected the unexpected, doesn't that make the unexpected expected and therefore not unexpected? Simple, really, isn't it? Maybe that's what we should be aiming for, to expect anything from God in our church, in our individual lives, because anything is possible with God. And I wonder, when you got up this morning and you thought about coming to church, how expectant you were that God might do something unexpected this morning. Something amazing, something incredible, something awesome. Your church, as we all know, church is where followers of Jesus come to do what we've been doing this morning. Come to praise and worship the one who can do immeasurably more than we can even imagine. It's also a place, because of that, where we should expect the unexpected to happen. We should expect God to take control and do something amazing. We sang Waymaker earlier. He is able to heal hearts. He is able to turn lives around. Maybe he will do that here right now this morning. Why don't we expect it? Let's come expecting that that might happen. You know, God has the power to change lives, to change hearts, to change minds, because as Paul says in this verse, his power, this dunamis power, this dynamite power, explosive power, is at work within us. Maybe that's what he's going to do with you this year. Change your life, change your heart, change your mind. Don't restrict what he might do with you or through you just because you can't, your imagination can't grasp it. If we're truly open to whatever God wants to do, that will help us make the hours of this year count. So 1 year ends and another begins. It happens every 12 months, folks. The next 12 months will no doubt hold some good moments, some fun moments, some exciting moments. But you know, the next 12 months probably will also hold some difficult moments, some challenging moments. You know, that's just the nature of life. But we can choose to put all of this year's moments, good and not so good, into God's hands, into the hands of the one who can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That sounds like the person that I want to put all of that to. Walking with him in our life, he will help us in ways we can't even conceive of as we sit here right now, if we let him. He will bring us blessings in ways that we wouldn't ask for because we don't even have the capacity to imagine them. Let him challenge our expectations of him this year so that we grow in him, we grow for him, we do great things for him. There's a plaque, come to think of it, in the front of the BMS guest house in the middle of Kolkata in India. It was founded, BMS, by William Carey, and there's a quote from William Carey. It simply says, expect great things from God, do great things for God. If we expect greatly, then he can use us greatly too. You know, by the time you leave this place today, by the time we finish the service, perhaps had a cup of tea or coffee, perhaps had a little chat with one or two people, another hour of this year will be gone. And then there will only be 8,748 hours left this year. But let's not count the hours. Let's make the hours count. Let's use that time to make this year a little better for ourselves, for those around us, for those we don't yet know, because we know Jesus. You know, if we want church or our lives to be something greater than we could ever imagine it to be, we, of course, first of all, need to know Jesus. And I'm conscious we've got a few visitors here this morning. I don't know if you know Jesus. I'd like to suggest to you probably should know him. And it would be good to know him. So if you don't know him, then please do speak to me or someone else from the church before you leave today. So of course we need to know Jesus. And then we need to expand our expectations of what he might do. And to learn that he can do immeasurably, exceedingly, abundantly more than we could ever ask or ever think of. This year, as we move headlong into whatever the year has in store for us, let's walk closely with God and let's raise our expectation of what he might choose to do in our own lives, in the life of his church. Because Paul tells us that because of this dynamite power, there's nothing he can't do. Let's pray. Father, as we stand on this threshold of a new year, just literally a few hours old, we pray that you renew our excitement for you, that you renew our love for you, that we ask for more of the power of your Holy Spirit in us. And that with that we just expand our expectation of what you may choose to do in us, with us, through us in this coming year. We want more of you, Lord, today. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's respond.